Luke chapter 12, verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who appointed me a judge or arbitrator over you?" Then he said to them, "Beware, be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops?' Then he said, 'This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word so that our faith will grow. And Father, we pray that by your word, that we will see what your Son has done, what he has accomplished for us. And through your word, let us have fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us that your word will be preached correctly and all of us will not only understand your word, but also believe and obey. Oh, Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you will receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Like I say, every time we begin, that in the Luke, what we are looking at is Jesus Christ accomplishing the kingdom of God. And we who are in Christ are the citizens of that kingdom. And in chapter 12, Jesus shows us what kind of life is lived by the citizens of the kingdom of God. We must live a life that witnesses that we are with Christ and we are gathering with him. We must live the life that belongs to heaven. It is the life without leaven, the life without hypocrisy. And he continues from verse 13 all the way to verse 34, Jesus shows that the heavenly life that we must live is the life without greed. We must forsake every form of greed, he says, and seek the kingdom of God. The greed is one of the biggest obstacles when it comes to being with Christ and gathering with Christ. And the security one might feel because of the abundance of the things of this world is also a big obstacle to Christian life that seeks God and trust God alone. We saw this when we saw the parable of the sower. Mark chapter 4 verse 19. But the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. 1 Timothy, verse chapter 6, verse 10. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. And some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Today, we will look at up to verse 21. But like I said before, the whole passage goes all the way to verse 34. So we'll look up to verse 21, and the rest we'll look at next time. Again, Jesus Christ is teaching and witnessing the reality of heaven. So we begin, verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance, family inheritance, with me." As Jesus teaches, someone in the crowd asks a question to Jesus. And you could tell by his question, he's not happy with his brother. And without much explanation, he tells Jesus to make his brother to divide the family inheritance with him. And you could see that he is not interested in what would please Jesus. He just wanted to use Jesus to gain the things of this world. Deuteronomy chapter 21 verse 17 says, "But he shall acknowledge the firstborn, the son of the unloved, by giving him a double portion of all that he has, for he is the beginning of his strength. To him belongs the right of the firstborn," meaning the firstborn gets double portion. And there are many, many laws concerning how to divide the inheritance if you read the Old Testament. But when we read verses 14 and 15, we could see that Jesus does not want to get involved in this matter. Verse 14, "But he said to him, 'Man, who appointed me a judge or arbitrator over you?' And verse 15, "Then he said to them, 'Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possession.'" So this clearly shows that the man who is asking Jesus is saying what he's saying purely out of his greed. Jesus says, "Be on your guard against every form of greed." What is greed? Well, simply put, it's desiring the things of this world. And this kind of person, he is never satisfied. And he is not happy with God. He is not happy with what God has given to him. And he is not happy with what God is doing in his life. Ultimately, to him, God is doing wrong. He knows better what God should do. Because we trust God, we believe that He's in control of all things, and whatever that happens in my life is because that's God's plan. And if He wants me to have what I have, then I should be very happy with what I have, not coveting what other people have. Unless you believe God is not doing the right thing. And that's what happens. These people who are coveting other people's things, they're not happy with what God has given to him. He covets what the others have. And he spends so much thoughts and emotions, time and energy to possess what he covets. So much so that having those things become the center of his life. And until he possesses those things, he is never satisfied. And even when he possesses them, his satisfaction is very short-lived. He must have more. Actually, there is no end to his greed. All of his focus is on possessing those things. He becomes a slave to those things. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5a, "For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater." Bible is very clear. Covetous man is an idolater because you actually worship, you covet. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, "Therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead, died, dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil thoughts, and greed, which amounts to idolatry." So if you didn't know, then know this. Greed is idolatry. Is worshiping other God. That's how God defines it. And it is to love oneself. It is to love this world more than God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2a and 4b, "For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God." And you could see how this is so true out there. And this is not how the citizens of heaven live. The latter part of verse 15, "For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions." ESV version is easier to understand. "For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possession." That's not what our lives are all about. I mean, this world lives like it, that whoever has much, he wins, right? As if that's what life is all about. Our life is not about having abundantly the things of this world. That is not our purpose. But so many people live as if having more of things of this world is their purpose. But the Bible is very clear for us Christians to live is Christ. Our purpose is Jesus Christ, His glory. Having so much of the things of this world is not important. But our relationship with God is very important. To live according to His will is important. There is a danger of more greed as you have more of things of this world. That's why when you see a very, very rich man and you say to yourself, "Man, he has so much that he doesn't have to work anymore, and yet he's working." Because he wants more. It doesn't stop. And you think you could stop. But you are the same sinner as they are. You need to realize how you are apart from Christ. That's the problem. We think that we're far greater than we actually are. First Timothy chapter 6, verse 10 through 10, "If we have food and covering," so if we have something to eat and something to wear, "with these we shall be content. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare, and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and by some, by longing for it, have wandered away from faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." Now, from verse 16, Jesus teaches this subject through a parable. So let me read that parable to you, verses 16 through 20. And he, Jesus, told them a parable saying, the land of a rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself saying, what shall I do since I have no place to store my crops? Then he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take ease. Take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool. This very night your soul is required of you, and now who will own what you have prepared? Now, this parable is not that hard to understand. I don't have to explain. There was a rich farmer, and he was very productive. But we have to remember that he was already rich before the abundant harvest. So, in our parable, he becomes richer. And we have to remember that he did not become rich by evil means. Our parable doesn't tell us that somehow he cheated someone or anything evil. It was just good harvest. And verse 18, then he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. Now listen to that. Listen to what he's saying. Don't you think that this is a prudent and efficient plan? What would you do if your harvest is abundant that year? What did he do wrong? He did it all legally. He didn't deceive anybody. He made so much money, and he says, I will build a warehouse so I could store these things. You think he's the evil guy? But when it comes to using the wealth that he has made, he is not wise in the sight of God. He lives his life as if there is no God. In verse 20, God in fact calls him a fool. A fool in the Old Testament is someone who says that there is no God. Like Psalm 14 verse 1, a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That's the problem. He lives his life as if there's no God, as far as he is concerned. But think about this. Let me ask you a question. Who in this sinful world would call him a fool? Who would do that? Nobody will call him a fool. Everything he has done is pretty wise. But when it comes to using, how he uses what he makes, it doesn't please God. Christianity is not against being rich. If God makes you rich, then bless you. But you have responsibility to use what you make in a way that will bring glory to God. Verse 19, And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. See, this is the philosophy of this world. Gather a lot so one can live well. Take my ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And the world will see nothing wrong with that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 32, if the dead are not raised, if there is no resurrection, then Paul says, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. See, this is life according to those who believe that there is no resurrection, that there is no heaven, that this is everything. What we see is everything. See, if you say there is no heaven, then this world is everything. And if there is no heaven, I will not be here preaching to you right now. You should not be here. Because if there is no heaven, then there is no God. Then what are we doing here then? And if this world is everything, then I want to go out and I want to possess it. I would. But see, I don't care. Because I have in my possession the other world, the heavenly world. If you don't see heaven, then this world is the only thing you see. Then there is no way for you to live that holy life that God is calling you to live. Because all you see is this world. So he follows the philosophy of this world. Eat, drink, and be merry. Let's be happy. Very good method of living according to this world. A smart person, wise person, who gathered up so much wealth that he could just go out and now have fun. If that is your purpose, that's not Christian life. First Corinthians chapter 10 verse 7, do not be idolaters, as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and stood up to play. See, all is idolatry. Living as a slave to greed. It is self-centered life. And for this person, there is no God, there is no other people except himself. If you read from verse 17, this rich farmer is all about himself. Listen to what he says. What shall I do? This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. There I will store all my grain and my goods. It's all about himself. There's no God. But this rich farmer learns quickly. He learns that same night. He will learn that he is not the owner of his own life. And that his possessions are not eternal possessions. God says, this very night, your soul is required of you, and now who will own that what you have prepared? If you die today, then who will own all that you have? All will be in vain. Some worldly people will say that it is still good that their sons and daughters will have it, but that's not what the Bible says. And you oftentimes see how sons and daughters of rich person who get so much money, how
What kind of life they live after that?
If you die today, then what? God's word is Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 18 through 21. Thus I hated all the fruit of my labor, for which I had labor under the sun, for I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be a wise man or a fool. Yet he will have control over all the fruits of my labor for which I have labored by acting wisely under the sun. This too is vanity. Therefore I completely despaired of all the fruit of my labor for which I had labored under the sun. When there is a man who has labored with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, then he gives his legacy to one who has not labored with them. This too is vanity and great evil. The wise King Solomon realizes. Psalm 39, verse 6, surely every man walks about as a phantom. Surely they make an uproar of nothing. He amasses riches and does not know who will gather them. Even if you are really rich, that does not mean that you could choose the day to die. And the Bible clearly says that our lives are very short. James chapter 1, verse 10 through 11, and rich man is to glory in his humiliation because, like flowering grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises with a scorching wind and withers the grass, and its flowers fall off, and the beauty of appearance is destroyed. So too, the rich man in the midst of his pursuit will fade away. We live what? 90 years, 100 years if you live long. The Bible describes that as a very, very short. Bible actually describes as a bow. How you shoot the bow, how fast it flies, that's how life flies. And you young people don't think that. Well, ask old people. Ask your grandpas and grandmothers. Ask them how short is your life. They will all tell you, very, very short. Because it's truth. Bible never lies. And you need to keep that in mind. You gotta understand what God is saying to you. Do not waste your life collecting the worldly things. That is not our purpose. Again, I'm not against you being rich. But if you are rich, use what you have to bring glory to our God. Not just your personal pleasure. Because that's not your purpose. Even if you lose all tomorrow, you say, oh, God doesn't want me to have it. So you move on. It really doesn't matter. Trust God. He will provide the minimum that you need to live your life. Psalm 90 verse 10, as for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years. Yet, their pride is but labor and sorrow, for soon it is gone and we fly away. Psalm 49, verse 16 through 17, do not be afraid when man becomes rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dies, he will carry nothing away. His glory will not descend after him. Look at how, the Psalms describe the vanity of life without God. Oh yeah, during your rich life in this world, glory follows you. Everybody's looking up to you, but when you die, that glory will not follow you down to hell. It doesn't. And if you are going to heaven, you don't need that kind of glory. You already have glory in Christ. The true glory. We come to the last verse for today, verse 21. So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. The man who stores up treasure for himself, Bible says he is not rich toward God. He is poor toward God, and being rich, like I said, in and of itself is not bad, but storing up treasure of this world for himself is bad. We are not saying that all rich people are bad and the poor people are good, and sometimes you hear that kind of stuff in the world. That somehow all rich are bad people and all, you know, poor are good people. No, that's not what Bible says. Bible says all of us are sinners. Good or poor, we're all sinners. We're all bad. Well, only good people and only rich people live for themselves? I could show you so many poor people, they only know themselves. And they too live for themselves. So what's the difference? We're all sinners. There are plenty of poor people who live for themselves. So whether you are rich or poor, you must be rich toward God. Then who is rich toward God? When Bible says you are rich towards God, what does it mean? Well, Bible says those who store up treasure in heaven. So how much treasure, how much money you have in heavenly bank? You know how much money you have in earthly bank, but how about heavenly bank? How much money did you put in there? And how do we put money in there? Well, Bible says, Luke chapter 12, verse 33, sell your possessions and give it to charity. Make yourselves money belts which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief come near nor moth destroy. And in Luke chapter 18, it says, as you give out your possession to other people, that's how you store up treasure in heaven. The richness toward God is eternal rich. So that's the question I ask you again. How much treasure do you have in heavenly bank? It's so hard. Even as I preach these things to you, always remember, I'm not saying this because I'm doing this way and I'm scolding you because you're not doing this way. I am just sinner like you. And when I stand before this pulpit, I'm here to preach to you God's word, not how I live. So don't take it that way. But it is very hard to storing up treasure in heaven. But we must do that. Proverbs 19, verse 17, one who is gracious to a poor man lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his good deed. Did you hear that?
If you are gracious to the poor, then God considers that you have lent to God. So God owes you, so to speak. And he says he will repay you. It's not that God owes you because you lent to him, but that's how he considers it. So deposit more treasure to God so that God could repay you. You know, greed makes us sin against God in so many ways. I give you an example, King David. He coveted someone else's wife, Bathsheba. I guess she was beautiful. And that coveting made him to commit not only the seventh commandment, adultery, but also the sixth commandment, you shall not murder, because David killed their wife's husband so that he could have her. And eighth commandment, you shall not steal. David stole someone else's wife. And tenth commandment, thou shalt not covet. And also idolatry. Just coveting Bathsheba, he commits all kinds of God's law. And this world is full of greed. But you have to believe that you have been saved out of all that. You now possess God and His eternal kingdom as your eternal inheritance. And if you really understand what you have already in Christ, then you will truly have the complete satisfaction. In heaven, we all will have perfect and complete satisfaction. And there is no greed in heaven. And if you focus on this world, and if that's how you are, if you focus on this world, then you will always lack. Guaranteed. Thus, dissatisfaction. That's what happens when you focus on heaven. I mean, there is no lack. But when you focus on the world, you're lacking. You don't have too many things. So you are dissatisfied. And we're going to talk about it in the next section. In order for us to cure this, God says, seek His kingdom. Focus on heaven. Then you're going to be satisfied. Adam and Eve. Think about this. Adam and Eve. God gave them everything. God has created the whole universe for them and made a paradise for them. God made for them all things that man and woman need and want, except one. The fruit of the knowledge of the good and evil. Just one. I mean, whole universe God gave to them. But said, don't eat of this fruit. Just one tree, do not eat. And they were dissatisfied with that. Discontentment. Displeased. This is a picture of those who do not have satisfaction in God. No matter how much that person will have, still not satisfied. And I think that is the biggest problem today's people have. People are not satisfied. I get that. If you're a non-Christian, of course you're not satisfied. If this world is everything, then you are not satisfied because you don't have much. But there's another world. There's a heavenly world. And there you have everything. You even have God as your eternal inheritance. And if you want complete satisfaction, then you must focus on heaven. And when you focus on heaven, let me ask a question. What do you lack in heaven? Absolutely nothing. What does God not give you in heaven? And you must understand that even the lacking in this world and sufferings that we go through as a Christian are the ways that our God is making us more like Christ, making us participate in the life of Christ, which is actually good for us. Hebrews 13:5, make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. You are satisfied in God being with you. We find our complete satisfaction in God. We enjoy God now and forever. Psalm 23 verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not lack. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall be satisfied. Psalm 73 verse 25, whom have I in heaven but you, God? And besides you, I desire nothing on earth. Brothers and sisters, see, look at our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who is so rich toward God. He is the one who truly store up treasures in heaven. He gave all to others. He even gave his life for us. And his security was always his Father and him alone. And the Bible tells us that he lived that life for us. He lived that life in our places, that you are now able to claim his life as yours. Even though when it comes to storing up treasures in heaven, I truly, truly lack. And yet I could claim Jesus' life as my life. Now, if you truly claim by faith, you will not use that fact as a license to sin more and not giving out your things to other people. Once you truly accept Jesus' life as your life, then you will be like him, because you understand and you believe his life is your life, so you will do things that he did in his life. Then you will give to the other people. And we must witness that reality in our lives. I could go on and on, but brothers and sisters, understand the true gospel. Jesus, who was rich, became so poor. He even died on the cross so that you and I who are poor became rich. That's the gospel. So the things you have in your life, things that God has given you, you give out so that you who are rich now becomes poor because you gave out. So that the other people who didn't have much, who are poor, becomes rich because of what you have given to him. That's the gospel. You must live that gospel. You know, you could talk about all kinds of things you could do, but this is it. This is how you store up the treasure in heaven. By giving things to other people. Be like Christ. Let's do this as a church. So our church, as you give offerings to our church, we must be ready
to people who are in need. That's how Christians live. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us such awesome life. Life in which we are able to witness Jesus Christ, the gospel itself. Let us help our brothers and sisters in need to live out that gospel life, life that belongs to heaven, life of Christ. We thank you. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.